There was a question. I think I'm a little confused. Would you say awareness of objects is what mind does, or is mind itself an object? Again, mind is a word that's used in different ways, and what we understand by mind, it's very hard to answer that question without having a long conversation about what you are referring to when you say mind, and what I'm referring to when I say mind. But I think I've responded a little bit. We're not trying so much to turn to look at awareness. It's more we're trying to understand how awareness is functioning. And I would really say too, the confusion there, just notice confusion. Rather than trying to figure it out right now, it's not necessarily helpful to try to work your way out of confusion at times. It can be useful to ask questions and try to clarify, but often with this topic, it is more just hearing what you get at a particular moment, playing with it, getting confused, noticing confusion, maybe noticing awareness, maybe not, so just keep playing with it, and keep being curious. Then here's another question. Would you say that there's always a gap or a space between experience and awareness, no matter wh whether the experience is focused or expansive? So that sense of a gap between awareness and the experience, my sense is that maybe what you're referring to, again, sometimes language in this terrain, it's hard to know what we're actually referring to. So when you say a gap between awareness and the experience, what that evokes in my mind is the experience when sometimes it feels like there's a distance or separation between being aware and the experience. That sometimes there's a sense of having a distance from the experiences. And that can be lovely, actually. It's like it doesn't feel like we're so entwined with the experience. It feels like there's a space, like the awareness maybe is back here and the object is here. So it can feel like there's a space between the awareness and the object. Again, that's not the only way it can feel. Sometimes it feels like the awareness is right inside the object. So no, it doesn't always feel like there's a gap. I asked Sayadaw about the distinction here. And this came about actually because he asked me, he was curious. He said, "Well, what is your experience when there are no defilements in the mind, when the mind doesn't have greed or aversion or delusion in the mind? What is the experience there?" And I kind of went off to look at it and to see, well, what is the experience? And I was like, well, there's different experiences. What is it like? It's different. I said, sometimes it feels like there's a separation between the awareness and the experience. And often I'd say that's kind of the first way we stumble into a sense of non-identification in a way with experience. But there is that sense of a gap between awareness and the experience. I said, but sometimes it feels like the awareness is right inside the object. There's no gap. It's just right together. And he said, it's just your mind, essentially. He said, it's your mind knowing the experience from two different perspectives. In the first perspective, where it feels like there's a gap, the mind is more interested or is aware of or is kind of noticing that there's a difference between the awareness and the object. They're not the same thing. There's the object, there's the qualities of the object, and there's the awareness. So the mind can begin to recognize the distinction between awareness and the objects of awareness. They're not the same thing. They're intertwined completely. You know, they happen together, but they're different processes of mind, and we can become aware of them as distinct processes. And he said, when it feels like the awareness is right inside the experience, there's more of an attunement or an interest in the fact that those two things are happening simultaneously. So again, it can feel very different at different times. I think that I've talked to some people in exploring, you know, the practice of being aware and being aware of awareness, and that sense of having that space or that gap, that becomes at times that can become the signpost that people are looking for. That's what it means to have the mind be kind of free of reactivity. That to have that sense of space, and people are looking for that space. And sometimes the mind is not oriented in that way. Sometimes it's more interested in the simultaneity of awareness and the objects. A question: can you confirm that while practicing receptive awareness in daily life, we might practice being aware of awareness or just aware of objects? Yes, I would say that. And sometimes we don't practice being aware of awareness. It's more that while we are aware, I'd say we practice being aware. We practice being aware in daily life and receiving what's obvious. And sometimes it will be awareness of awareness and sometimes awareness of objects. So we could practice awareness of awareness there, perhaps. Usually in my daily life, I don't preference either one. I just am kind of with myself going through the day. And I would say often when awareness returns, there is the awareness of awareness, you know, that's kind of what comes back there. But then it might be useful, you know, I don't try to preference staying there. It's just, oh, okay, there's awareness here. I'm moving through space. I'm doing something, and just very naturally notice where the attention goes. Sometimes it will go to objects. Sometimes it will go to awareness. Then this question, I'm not sure I quite understand it. I'll read it. Maybe I'll understand it more as I read it. Hang on, let me see if there's anything more in the chat first. Are hindrances and defilements the same thing? Hindrances are a subset of defilements, I would say. Hindrances are maybe some of the more gross forms of defilements. Defilement, the term, the defilement's a funny word, in English. You know, it's a word that we don't use very much. It has a quality to it that sounds like it embeds aversion in it in some way. The word that it's translating from the Pali literally means something like, it's an analogy, actually. The word is an analogy because it literally means a stain. It is used in a very ordinary way, like, you know, if you have a cloth that's got dirt rubbed into it, it's defiled. It's stained. It's stained. There's something in it that's extra, that is kind of not part of its nature in a way, or not. Well, it is part of its nature, but it's not part of the basic quality of the thing. It can come and go. And so hindrances are forms of kilesa, are kinds of stains. But I would say the definition of hindrances is something in the suttas is qualities of mind that hinder concentration. And we can have concentration and have a greed for concentration that's happening at the same time. So that form of kind of something sticky in the mind there around the concentration is a subtler form of greed, aversion, or delusion than are usually meant by the hindrances. All right, I'm going to change the recording.